And now it's time for Carpentry's all live radio show from our studios overlooking Rincon Point. Welcome to Brian's Radio Lunch Truck. And now, here's your host, Brian Moots.
All right. Hey, this is Brian, Brian's Radio Lunch Truck, CarpentryValleyRadio.com. It's another beautiful Thursday. You know, I'm thinking that we should do to keep the weather good is just keep this show going forever. Because it seems like every Thursday really works out.
Yeah,
really well.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
Reverse jinx.
And how are we doing on the technical side, Dennis? I know we had
terrible.
Some issues.
Terrible.
Okay.
Horrible. Right.
So my wife's vibrator isn't fixed yet.
No.
Okay.
And neither is my computer. So.
Oh, well. Yeah. Computer. But I know what's more important.
Yes. Priorities.
Different repair shop.
Yeah. Different repair. Got Dennis's vibrator.
Oh,
sorry.
My goodness. Goodness.
That's right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
I'm sorry about that. Hey, we have great guests, Gary Dobbins and Beth Cox. We'll start off, Gary. Say good morning and what you do.
Because it's
good
morning
afternoon.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Fucking well, good morning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is how it is.
Us
yeah.
On.
Yeah. See, I woke up a little while ago.
Okay. Your nightlife.
Yeah, it's pretty good. In bed by 10. But they're here because they're part of the new CCA, the Carpentry Community Association. And who would like to take over and kind of give a quick outline of what that is?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi there.
Thank you for my beautiful flowers, Gary. Jeez.
Oh, wow.
Carpentry Community Association started with a core group of long-time Carpentrians, although I'm a transplant, according to some people.
How long have you been here?
Since 92.
See, yeah, my Caroline's been here since 92. I moved in 21, and I still carry an ID card. They still have checkpoints.
Yeah, I started that a long time ago.
Thank you. Thank you. Really. Yeah. Are you a real Carpentrian? I've been here since 2 years?
Yeah. You're still newbie.
Yeah, definitely.
Newbie. Anyways, we kind of started discussing, I don't know, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago when, during COVID, when the chamber was definitely having issues, the Chamber of Commerce of Carpentria, and it became South Coast and combined with Santa Barbara and Goleta. And, we loved our Joyce, and she unfortunately had to transplant herself. And
Joyce who? Who is Joyce?
Joyce was
the
was
former
the,
chamber.
Or executive director
exactly.
of the Chamber of Commerce for CARP. And, we were definitely known for our Academy Awards of Carpentria, which was our community, our Carpentria Banquet Awards. Which Gary's going to chat about in a little bit. And so there was a group of us that said, I think it was last August.
Yeah, we started over a year, almost a year.
So you broke away from the other chambers, I would say.
I wouldn't say it's so much a breakaway as it was just that we felt we could do a much better job than what the South Coast Chamber could do for us in recognizing Carpinteria. Carpinteria is... both of you know is very unique. Everything that goes on in Carpinteria is it's being a small town. Everybody knows everything. And
how long do you live here?
Since 89.
No, I know.
But the thing is, there's a feeling in Carpinteria about how nonprofits and everybody works together in a special way, and volunteerism. The kids at the school, scholarships, I mean, that's why we have so many programs. But they couldn't do the job that we can as Carpenterians.
So did you feel in a way that you were, I don't want to say ignored, but your priorities weren't the priority of anybody
they
else?
They were not at our categories. Of
that you wanted to be.
They were just for nonprofits. You know, nonprofits wanted to be a part of the Carpenter Awards Banquet.
Yes.
We understand prices increase with COVID. It just wasn't worth it for me as a business owner. You know, the prices went up and we weren't really getting any reciprocity of anything for Carpinteria. There was no, mixers anymore. And we're just field child in our county.
Until Joyce arrived, there had always been a local person, executive director of the chamber. And the chamber had, even though they had strict rules about, you know, you have to be a chamber member and all this thing to be recognized or to be advertised on. The chamber executives that we had in the past that were all locals kind of bent the rules a little bit. They helped out with everything from the Avo Fest to just about everything. And it was a matter that when Joyce got transferred over to Santa Barbara, she got that feeling of what was happening to our identity. Our identity was not being fully recognized by them. Their interests were more about, you know, trying to get the businesses and stuff to go. And like she said and alluded to, almost all the businesses couldn't afford the chamber things. And Joyce, coming from, I think she came from the desert communities, was a strict adherer to the rules of chamber. She was a chamber director before.
And what could you give an example of the rules you might have bent?
Well, the fact that, you know, when we did mixers and stuff like that, that
everybody was included.
Nonprofits could come. The growers would supply things. We'd have raffle prizes from everybody. It didn't matter if you were a chamber member or not. They got behind different venues in here. Like one year we had to get a fire truck and the chamber jumped in right away and helped. And the associations like Rotary and Lions had a voice still with the chamber, being able to be participants.
And now it's Carpenter Community Association. You're still continuing on the tradition of the awards banquet. And can you explain the history of that a bit? And maybe name some of the luminaries of who've Beth has been Carpenter of the Year. And what is the awards banquet?
Royalty sitting next to me.
Yes, you brought her flowers.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It started in 1958. The first gentleman that won the award was John, and I think it's pronounced Moyer, won the very first. So we've had 65, this is our 65th year, we're going to have 65 Carpenterians of the Year. The event was held in many different locations. The Miramar was at the last, was the last one, the original Miramar. We hosted it there.
Which is now the Rosewood.
Yes. And then we moved down to the grassy knoll, as I call it, the grass field down at the state park, which the city at one time still owned.
And it flooded that year.
Yes, it did.
Wow.
I wasn't there, but I've heard all about it.
Yeah, it was quite a traumatic thing because everybody's dressed out. Tuxes, everything, and a gentleman by the name of Tom Whitaker got a detail of all of us to run and get sandbags, and we had the fire department come down, help to start sandbagging this whole event as water's really flowing through like a creek, you know, the one place that goes through.
Yes.
So we were having a river in front of the whole presentation going on. But it still went on. We didn't stop. We're Carpenterians.
We're all going, that's right. Yeah, that's kind of true. This is very, very true.
And then, over the years, there's been different locations that we've held it. Girls Inc., Boys and Girls Club.
And where is it this year?
Girls Inc.
All right. And how many people do you think are participating?
We're over 200 yet?
I'm pretty sure we're over 200. Nice. Tickets are still available, but I feel like the closer that we get, I'm pretty sure we're going to... I think our capacity is...
She said 250.
275, I'm 270, not sure.
Yeah.
I should have known that information.
That's all right. It's live radio. You can just...
Plus or minus, you know. Yeah. We'll squeeze them in.
Yeah. See, there's bending the rules. Yeah. Oh, that's one more.
She's... the Linda Farley area over at Girls Inc. is a fabulous place to host our cocktail hour, is that what it's called? Or meet and greet?
We decided that we were going to do the whole event outside, but just with our weather this year.
It's hard to tell how it'll be,
We're inviting all past Carpenterians of the Year, which we invite every year, but we actually have a lot coming this year. So, you know, we have some older people, and we just want to make sure that everybody's comfortable.
So we would be back inside.
Made the decision on Tuesday at our board meeting.
Because last year was somewhat outside. It was held at...
They had a covered patio.
Yeah, had a covered patio.
The last two, or has it been 3 years? It's been 2 years. It's been at Rincon Catering.
Right.
And Rincon Catering has given us the most incredible sponsorship, gave us a significant discount.
They really wanted to stay involved.
And so the CCA, or the Carpenter Community Association, do you have sponsors for them? organization? How does that work?
We set up first a sponsorship program for it. We have a platinum, gold, silver, and then there's...
Well, for Dennis and I, do you have maybe like a lesson copper?
Well,
like a pot
there's
metal?
There's a place out in the kids area where they got this play center, and you guys have got that little red picnic table. Is that what that is out there in the kids area?
That's it.
Yeah.
You're pretty good servers. Yeah, you were at the tea the other day. Another fantastic job. Really?
So what you're saying, which is kind of weird because I'm not allowed to be there, you want to put us with the kids section.
Yeah. Where everybody has a lot of fun. Yeah.
One of us belongs there.
Well, emotionally.
You're not going to sit at the Carpentry Beautiful table?
Can I, please?
Well, they bought a table.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Sounds like you're relegated us to some corner.
Hey, guys, you're big with Carpentry.
So let's get back to the sponsorship. Okay. So you do have sponsors. And how does that work? What does a sponsor get?
So our platinum sponsor is the Bliss family. Tim Bliss is actually one of our speakers, and we're so incredibly grateful to them for their platinum sponsor gave us $10,000, and basically they get all of the promotion on media and social media and print, and they get two tables of eight, so 16. And Linda Fairley, of course, gave us $5,000. We're always grateful.
She's a very generous person.
She's an incredible person. And she's just the sweetest. And if you're cruising around Carpentry, you're going to see her walking.
Yes.
She's everywhere. And her husband, Richard. Mm-hmm. And Chevron, always generous. They're another $5,000 sponsor. Agilent Technologies here in Carpentry also is a $5,000 sponsor.
And we've
got many more.
Have you found any conflict? Found any conflict with the new industry, the marijuana industry? Are they part of this?
Yes.
Or do they sponsor? Is there any conflict with anybody, other sponsors, any other individuals because of that?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. Not at all.
No.
No. It was more about the election for them.
We don't know who is who yet.
Roy Lee is finalized.
Yeah. Okay, Roy. Yeah.
So what we'll do when we come back, we'll hear some music. Gary, we'll talk to you about the Coastal View News, how you feel its future has been, what's the trouble it's had in the past, finding a new asking for support, basically, because,
Help me get retired.
I'll get you retired. I got a plan for you.
Such a deal.
So I think we're going to start off with the animals. House of the Rising Sun,
yeah,
and then Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water, and
a couple of classics right there.
Yeah, good choices. All right, let's hit it. That's my cue to say something intelligent. So this is CarpentryValleyRadio.com. Stop laughing. Brian's Radio Lunch Truck. And by the way, if you can't get enough of Gary laughing at 12:32 p.m., you can also replay this show 5 o'clock tomorrow?
Yes, it'll be 5 o'clock tomorrow and Saturday for sure. And we're kind of messing around with the schedule right now.
Okay, so we got Friday and Saturday.
Podcasts, please get over to the podcast and check them out if you miss a show. They're all right there.
All right. And how soon will this be on the podcast?
Within a week.
Okay.
We'll be all caught up. Yeah.
So, Gary, you can listen to yourself 24/7.
Impress your friends.
You can still listen to yourself. Yeah. Anybody going with you to Austin? Are you flying or driving?
I'm going to drive it. The 737s are falling out.
Yeah, that'd be the last thing I want to drive.
Yeah, I'm done with that. After they killed the whistleblower down there in the parking garage, I was done with that.
Yeah, I'm done with this plane.
I'll give it
20 years.
Yeah, how tragic.
Well, you could play the...
told the truth, and then they kill him.
You could play your podcast on Spotify all the way there and drive whoever was with you. Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not that technical. She does my technical.
He doesn't even know what a podcast is.
Okay.
That's why they teamed me up with her.
This is a car.
Something to do with
beans. What is this new dang fangled? Yeah. Oh. It's called an air conditioner.
And that's why all my staff is young and they can do all the social media, and I don't do social media.
No, that's funny. Oh, no, we're horrible at it. Let's get back to what we're talking about earlier, and that is
Karen Multigraph, can
you tell us a little bit about her?
I feel like the Carpentry Awards banquet and the chamber, it just goes hand in hand with Karen. She's just always on and is constantly saying she needs to put on her different hat when we're in that meeting.
She does it all.
She really does. Yeah. She's amazing. And she does it with a smile. And she's
so calm, attitude.
Cool, and collected. And we love her. And we were talking while our songs were playing that we have definitely stuck with the core group of mainly women who have just been those people that know what they're
make
doing
it happen.
With that Academy Awards for Carpinteria. And we've got Donna Lemire and Marianne Coulson. Shelley Nunes is our treasurer. Neil Bartlett is our attorney.
He's a good one.
He's a really great guy.
Curtis Lopez.
Curtis Lopez, the character. Clyde Freeman. Pam Werner. Puts on another hat from Carpinteria.
So you have quite a large board.
We do have a large board. She's dealing with all of our Carpinteria junior Carpinterians of the year who actually were just chosen last week.
Aren't they,
can't tell you who they are yet.
Well, aren't those kids are amazing?
Oh my gosh!
I've been to these dinners.
Year, it's amazing.
It's like they speak three languages. They're going to Venezuela. They set a water project. 4.6 grade point average.
Yeah,
doing volleyball.
4.0.
Yeah, and you know,
when
I was at one of the dinners, I was like, oh my god! And I literally went over to the person sitting next to me. I go, at that age, I was trying to just get drunk.
Yeah,
and laid. That was it. That was 85% of my mental capacity.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about my curse with women, so that was what high school was all about. Yeah,
I think when I actually accepted my Carpinterian of the Year, I don't remember what I said, but somebody said that when I talked about my SAT score, I went to a magnet school down in the San Fernando Valley, and I, when I took my SAT for the first time, I was actually probably still drunk. And so I talked about that talked about the junior Carpinterians of the year.
Yeah,
and I was like, I literally got like 600 on my entire SAT. And so many of the magnet kids were like, so what'd you get on the math? And I'm like, no, I got 600.
Beth, how did you end up in Carpinteria? Because when I asked that, because a lot of people end up here for, like, we just dropped, we got a flat tire and really liked the city. Andy Clark was his girlfriend, got heard about it, surfing. So how did you end up here from the Valley?
I actually spent my second birthday on at Second Beach in a condo there.
Hmm.
My mom's family were originally from Big Pine and moved to Bakersfield, and so as many Bakersfieldians come over to Carpinteria to get out of that heat, that's kind of where we started. And my dad is originally from Southport, England, passed away in 2007, and had always said he was going to move to Carpinteria. So in 92 they purchased a home here, and that's how I ended
fantastic.
Up here.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I want to mention the Coastal View News. Gary, and what's your responsibility with the CVN? What isn't your responsibility?
I don't know anymore. we're celebrating 30 years. Michael and I started it with Rosemary.
Michael?
Yeah, Michael Van Stride.
Okay.
We started it. All three of us had coffees at the old Carrolls. I was an elected official at the time. And we decided that how hard could it be to run a newspaper?
How hard is it?
It was an eye-opening experience because all I ever was a paper boy. And
he's still the paper boy.
And I'm still the paper boy.
It's not even a glamorous paper boy either. The glamour of it all, really.
And Michael had graduated in New York in journalism, and Rosemary had wrote and had her Sea Sails column in the Herald. So we divided it up, the three of us. Rosemary would be the editor. Michael would do all the technical. We started the Coastal View with no office. We actually were set up similarly to you. We were in a Michael studio apartment. And that first year, we really didn't know what we'd bitten off. We said we'd go do home delivery. Well, that first pallet of papers came in, and we found out we had to roll them, bind them, put them in plastic bags, and then head out at 4 o'clock in the morning and throw them in everybody's driveway. So we did that to make the awareness to the community of who we were. And so each decade brought on the new challenges, especially my wife was a big part of it then, and she died in 2003 from cancer. And then Rosemary died, I think, 5 years after that. Okay. And so that left Michael and I at the helm. RMG actually stands for Rosemary, Mike, and Gary, oh, right. the okay. LLC. And most of it has been the fact that the printing and purchasing of buying paper has become the big challenge nowadays. Carpentry is unique. I cannot go just strictly online like so many technical people would like me to be, but they want their hard copy.
They do.
Because we do. So I'm part of that group. I do.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. They do. We have the challenge of the Montecito Journal, the Coastal View, and the Independent are all printed now with only the one printer left that does the web press. And so his costs are whatever he feels like charging us each week. And they keep going up, and then the cost of buying paper has gone up. And the advertisers, because of COVID, really had to back off. They had no choice. I mean, I can't blame them. They were struggling just to keep their doors open and trying to do it. So we've managed to continue. Things are slowly coming back. The community rallied behind us.
And how, told them. How did that happen? What was the rallying? What was that rally?
Well, we did we've only done three editorials in the whole history of the paper, and we decided to go public with the struggles we were having. And the community rallied by sending in donations. They wanted to keep it free. That was the main thing. They didn't want a price tag. And they wanted their hard copy. So they rose to the challenge of supporting us by these donations. And some of them do a monthly contribution. And it's progressed now to a point where the challenge is still going to be printing. Especially with only one printer available for doing newspapers of our size. We could reformat and try to do it another way, but Carpinteria wouldn't like that. They like the format the way we've done it for all these years. So.
Well, do you know that for sure? If you reformat it, it's still in the hard copy, why do you think we wouldn't like
that? The other secret to our success has been our distribution. We have the largest distribution of all of them. I have machines in not only Carpinteria, Santa Barbara, Goleta, and then we go up to Ojai. So I have the distribution of that. That took over for war. Well, we did it during COVID, home delivery. With having the large distribution, we made machines convenient to everybody. You can go to the post office. You can go to the Albertsons. You can go to anywhere to get your paper. Same with Santa Barbara and Goleta now.
So we're in the Coastal Daily News, I just want to clarify, is in Ojai.
Yeah.
Oh, and how does it do in Ohio? I know. So you go to the stands.
I think we take about 50 of them okay. up there. Oh. I don't want to. We've always had a thing where we don't try to step on other publications' toes and do it. We just make it. There's a lot of people like yourself that reside in Ohio, and when I once lived,
I actually live here.
Yeah. And Mike. Oh, okay.
You know, I do have a house. It's right here. It's on Carp Avenue.
Carp Avenue.
It's right there.
Right there. But anyway, Mike is still up in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. And then I lived there for about 10 years, too.
I go to Ojai a lot, though, on a motorcycle.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. And if there's any highway patrolman, please stay off 150 every Friday through Sunday. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So anyway, the paper is probably the biggest thing for me were the heartwarming little sticky notes that came with the checks and the donations and little letters about, you know, please do this, please don't leave us, that type of thing.
And who's your editor?
Evelyn, the youngest editor ever. She was a graduate from the college over in Santa Barbara.
How did you snag her?
She was assistant editor for a long time. Most of them have come up through the ranks, the young people. We have June, which is her assistant editor, who used to do a lot of writing for The Independent. Our sports guy is with The Independent. And then we have a lot of columnists, stringers. Matter of fact, people don't realize this. When we first started, Rosemary talked John Pomeroy into writing a column for us.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to be at the awards banquet.
Who's John Pomeroy?
I don't know.
JP.
JP. He and I have been best friends since we had the television show. Rosemary and I had a TV Santa Barbara show.
Oh, really? What was that like? What was your show? I'm just curious now.
It was more or less about everything going on at CARP.
Okay.
Rosemary was dialed in. Of course, like I said, I was an elected official back then, so we had a lot of privilege to inside, and we covered the floods and stuff that came through. We almost lost a bridge there on Carpentry Avenue. And Rosemary and I are standing on it, and fire and police are yelling at her and I to get off the bridge. It's got to go because I think it was a horse got jammed up the bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
And backed up. It was from George Bliss's ranch, I think.
You know the horse.
Yeah, I had to trace that.
That's Blackie right there.
Yeah. Shit. So being we were building the plant at the sanitary district, I convinced the contractor to bring his crane up to unplug the bridge so the bridge wouldn't be collapsed.
Well, I'm going to flood now. Carmody has experienced some heavy 69.
No, this 68, one would have
been, or 96.
96.
Yeah.
96.
Yeah, I remember that. That was gnarly.
It was totally gnarly. And
it was insane.
It was going, I mean, the bridge was literally weaving because between the horse and all the stuff coming down Carpinteria, it was just literally. And Rosemary says, I got to get the shot, the money shot. She said, that's my nickname in Pometary gave me was getting the money shot.
The money shot.
That has so many connotations.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
So, and Rosemary was stubborn as hell. She wasn't going to get off. I was more worried about leaving her standing on the bridge.
How do you feel about the future for the Coastal View News? How do you, you know?
Really well. Now our online stuff is probably double what our distribution is in hard copy.
Okay. Have you kind of been a lot of businesses everywhere across the country, small businesses especially, like, we made it through the pandemic. We can make it through that. We can make it through anything. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how you feel about the Coastal View News?
Yeah, it was. And I mean, and there was a lot of help back to the community from us because of what was going on. Everything had to be a big adjustment. So, I mean, they were struggling to pay the rents downtown and everything else. And we kind of tried to work with them as much as possible to help and to keep some sort of a message out that, hey, we're still here, or we got a parklet, you know, that type of thing.
And before we go to some music, can you tell us how Hails and Pitchforks came into being? Which is, I think, everybody's favorite part. It's like the people turn to
everybody
first.
Everybody goes right to right there. That's the first thing you read.
Right.
I can't remember if it was Mike and Rosemary that came up with the title for it. Anyway, we wanted something that anybody from the public could have a bad experience or a great experience at one of the businesses. And so they determined this is what they were going to call it. Well, it became such a popular thing that the DJs in LA and everything else started using it on their cast because some of them were hilarious, you know, from dog pooping in my yard to, you know, being on the sidewalk.
It's a print version of Next Door Carpinteria.
Yeah.
Or sometimes World Famous Beach on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I was telling you, on the station, we read them all the time. Since the station's been on. And by the way, Gary, very appreciative of the Coastal View News helping us out, too, during those times with an ad and just a general partnership. And I lean on you guys and always try to leave something, worthwhile from it. So really, really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys too, because it's again back to the uniqueness of Carpinteria.
Yes.
We are a community that watches each other, and no matter what our disagreements or our politics or whatever, when it comes down to it, we're going to stick together for Carpinteria.
Yeah, right.
And so
I feel that too.
I just wanted to say, because Gary hasn't made it public, like, we had to spill the beans to a couple of his employees.
He's going to a transgender stage. He has a punk band?
Pre or post?
Carpinteria Community Association awarded the Coastal View News the Business of the Year.
Yay. Oh, and rightfully so. It really is a resource.
So they will be congratulated and all the hoopla at the Carpinteria Awards.
That's cool. Congratulations.
On April 6th.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, I think I don't know how much people realize.
That's why Pometary's showing up. He's got to get some digs on the presentation about Rosemary never did pay him when he wrote columns.
So basically what he's saying is, so he's going to talk to his lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. Or I'm going to get a bill from 30 years
ago. There's a statute of limitations.
Yeah. Thank you. I got remember that one.
Yeah, right. Okay, guys, what's Mark Chellers is next?
Tyler.
Tyler Chellers. God, I do that every... I'll make a mistake with everything. And that is In Your Love. And then Mark Cohn, Walking in Memphis, both Beth Cox's choices. And Walking in Memphis, I think it's Mark Cohn's biggest seller and a really popular song, a nice song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Let's hit it. Let's hear it. The other language. All right. Hey, this is Brian's Radio Lunch Truck. This is Brian with Dennis Mitchell, Gary Dobbins, Beth Cox, CarpentierValleyRadio.com. And of course, this will be replayed tomorrow at 5 p.m., Saturday at 5 p.m. And since we're all ADD, we can't think beyond that day.
No.
That's it for us.
What time did you say?
That's all. I can't go more than 48 hours. I'm sorry. What is the theme for this, for our banquet? For Avocado Fest? Which one are you talking about? You said
Carpentry Awards Banquet, okay. Which is on April 6th right. at Girls Incorporated. Tickets are still available. Our website is carpca.org.
Okay.
I have a really hard time with that because it was a couple of other things. But yes, carpca, like carp, California, .org. You can purchase them online. We have a really schnazzy way to get them. And this year's theme is celebrating agriculture and Carpinteria's bounty of agriculture, which, you know, spans flowers and other flowers. And we're so thankful to our cannabis growers who got us through COVID, kept lights on in restaurants and kept people fed, and to our avocado growers and our citrus lemon groves, and so we're celebrating agriculture.
Fantastic. And earlier we were just talking about the FFA program, how important you feel that is, Gary.
Oh, yes. It teaches so much to the responsibility of the young people, structure of caring for animals, you know, the feed, the responsibility of them. They have their own board of directors where they actually have a formality about how they operate. And to keep it funded, because most of the time it's not a high priority with schools and stuff, because schools have trouble with their budgets as it is. So any support that could be coming in extra for FFA or the culinary or any of those specialty things at the high school, it's always appreciated.
So is it a battle every year to get funding that you know of?
I don't think it's a battle. I think it's there's always a trouble instructors and teachers to be a part of the program. And the last 5-10 years has been changeover, trying to bring
in. We have an amazing crew in there now.
Yeah, we do. I mean, right now, we've finally hit a home run.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, I remember several years ago when the marijuana industry started first come in, that they're spending money just to kind of grease the wheels. Do you feel they're genuine about their caring of the community?
Oh, my gosh.
Of course.
Well, I'm going to have to ask that because
they are the same people that have been here, and they're just growing a different flower. And they are all of those people that have always been there for Carpentry. I speak so highly of all of them because the market hit what it hit, and they had to make changes. And they're responsible growers, and I'm going to say their shit is good.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Not only that, they have bent over backwards to aid the community and try to make everybody happy in an area that it's not always possible.
And they have.
They've been proactive. Yeah,
the agriculture community, from the lima bean all the way through, you have to realize to all of them, it's a crop.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with you're for or against marijuana or anything else. They lost their flower industry because of the competition that was inputted on them from Mexico and South
Venezuela,
America.
Especially.
Yeah. Venezuela, yeah. All of that.
And Carlsbad.
So they had to find something to increase. So it's a matter of thinking realistically. I don't want to lose the ag land or anything else. But there is an issue that can come about that they could change zonings if they don't produce crop. I think it's a 5-year rule. If a piece of ag land stays not producing under agriculture things, they can rezone them. And then you'd have developers or anything else going after
it. Right. And we do have a responsibility under state law.
And that's my argument with everybody in the community. No matter where your stance is on anything concerning agriculture, to them, it's their livelihood and it's a business. And whatever crop it takes for them to make money to stay in business, that's what it's all about.
And the reason I mentioned that is because they came in. I'm not against the industry at all. But there was controversy from the beginning with the smells and so forth. It just seemed to be a core group.
And the chamber. Yeah. But we're not the chamber.
Right. Seriously, with the chamber.
Association. Yeah. The chamber would not back the cannabis growers.
Do you know why?
What I just said is because when you get a small group anywhere, especially in a small town like ours, they're adamant about how they're pounding their chest about, I'm against this or I'm doing this. And the growers were still trying to feel out how their operations were going to work. You got to remember, they changed from flowers to a different type of flower, as she said. Right. But there was consequences because of the smell. And they aren't. Well, the growers finally figured out that they could buy equipment, which was expensive.
So expensive.
To put in, just try to tone it back and bring it down. So they immediately went after that. Now, do we have a few bad apples? Yes, we do. There's still guys producing and doing it out there that don't want to comply with what the others have done to buy the equipment to scrub it. So there's where you need the policing. You need to take these independent individuals that don't want to comply with the rules and try to make it effective on all. To bring everybody else on the same playing field. They just need a fair playing field. But it's a matter that agriculture supported every business forever. I mean, at one time we had like 25 gas stations downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had all this go on in history. But the only reason they survived, I mean, we had a shoe store. We used to be able to sell and go in and buy a pair of shoes. We had a car dealership which used to set aromatized candy. And all these things were supported by the growers.
Yeah.
We had a Ford dealership. They sold tractors.
Right.
Agriculture.
And talking about that, you're talking about change in the community, and both of you are very involved in the community and have a long history in our community. What do you see in the future? You know, I know this might be a hazy crystal ball, but do you have a feeling about the future?
Well, we're at a crossroads. We really are.
Dennis says we're at a crossroads. Do you feel the same?
Well, he's right, because what's happened is there's a lot of changes. When I first, we didn't even have cell phones or nothing. We used a beeper, and that was the way the communications.
Do you have a cell phone now?
Yeah, how about that? And
well, it's not really a cell phone. It's from 1970. It's like 1994. It's that big, handle.
And a lot of the groups that get adamant about change don't realize that we have to have some change.
Yes.
We have to have some progress. We have to have some growth. Otherwise, I mean, it's just like the city. The city has to be able to make money to pave your streets, to do stuff that they are always upset about. How come my streets aren't getting paved? Or how come this sales tax and all that revenue is generated for the city? Property taxes, that's generated for the city. And when you start taking that revenue away, then the amenities that the city is trying to provide for us
get, and some of the amenities that we take for granted.
Exactly. A lot of them. So we have to adjust. We have to have an even keel about it. I mean, like I said, you're always going to have those individuals that say, I'm avid against this or I'm avid against this. You're ruining Carpinteria Charm. Carpinteria Charm is the people.
Yes.
That's a good point. And Beth, if you feel, so you feel, how does that play into the next 3-4 years?
We're going to have a future with, we've got the new place going in the old hardware store.
And it's beautiful.
It is.
The rent is ridiculous, it's gorgeous.
Maybe they'll have to adjust a little bit because they're a little on the rent. But then you have the Railroad Hotel. All these things which people struggled with because it's change. They're going to have the same problem as they start to renovate the Palms. Because the Palms needs a total renovation. I've talked to them. They got to do retrofitting. They got to do new plumbing, electricity, all those things to renovate that building and yet try to keep the character of the building.
And Bethy, do you feel the same about the town, how the city that you see has changed?
I do. I think when I was on with Dennis a year ago or so, progression is inevitable. I mean, we we need more housing, and yet we don't need it on the bluffs. You know, it's going to happen, and we have to, you know, somewhat let go. And prices are ridiculous, and it's really sad that, you know, people that have grown up here can't afford to live here. And I wish that we could make that work for everybody, you know, but life is difficult.
Yeah, and we're only two square miles. The city is only, but mandates that are coming now are the fact that you've got state and county. They supersede a city. So however we go after something, no matter what it is, a bluff or any issue, we have to know that these people that are trying to do these developments and everything else have alternatives now with county and state getting involved. And that's the last thing I want anything is getting in our business.
We have to tiptoe around
certain
things.
Yeah. And a lot of the objections locally, from what we've learned in recent times anyway, is not so much what the form of progress, but where. Yeah. A lot of people, it's like, yeah, we don't mind what you're trying to accomplish here, but we don't like it there.
Yes.
And there's where the rub is as far as people's opinions as to what Carpinteria should be and how it should present itself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Gary, I'm going to ask you, Mary Beth, you both, again, have the pulse on the town. With the Chevron property, what is going on with the Chevron property? Can you give us an update?
It's mainly a cleanup. I don't know what the future's going to hold there, because it's going to be, again, an issue about what they feel that they can get it. Zoning is the key. See, that's the key with what goes on with the bluffs. This last section of the bluffs is zoned and has been zoned for 35 years for housing. So changing zoning is the most difficult thing to do. And that's why, as she said, there's generally a way to handle things where we don't get outside influences trying to tell us what we want to do. But it's going to be a continual struggle for us as a city to keep the outside influences from trying to take over what maybe we want or don't want.
All right. So you see that that's going to be the struggle.
Yes.
Keeping our growth in our own vision.
Well, they, you know, Carpinteria Charm, which I said a while ago, is the people. But there was a philosophy at one time when there was a slate that had a no-growth philosophy. You can't have no growth. You have to be able to it. And like the present thing with the entertainment in town, that's a big issue, because we have, no doubt, a big tourist thing. We have a state park. We bring all these people in. And the businesses need that. They need the money. The city needs the sales tax from all of it.
And we need the music.
So
make sure you show up to city council this coming Monday.
Is it this Monday?
Yep.
I'll be gone.
Okay. Yeah, you'll be
gone. I've got Laz going.
Oh, wait, no.
So. Right. Okay, so explain what's going on.
25th, I thought.
A week from Monday.
March 25th, a city council meeting, 5:30.
And they'll present the position.
Make sure that you are there if you're living in Carpinteria, because we do not live in Footloose. We need music.
Good reference.
Wow, very good.
I like that.
Yeah, very good.
It
very
starts
good.
With pool.
And so can we, well, either one of you can explain what that is, what's going on real quickly.
Well, what happened was is we had some individuals that had moved into the community. They were close to Island Brewery.
Actually, I feel like they had been there for a while. They just hadn't really
2013. Inhabited. They're still newbies.
Yeah.
They're definitely
newbies, but I feel like they had inhabited it because of a certain something happening in Los Angeles.
Well,
Los
of course they
area.
Did.
Yeah, well, okay, my point is, because I've heard that they're weekend guests or they're like long time.
Yeah, they have.
Like, the RDO renters.
But the problem is they're very evident about the silent and not being disturbed in their evening time.
But they live right next to their train.
And they live right next to the train. Which whistle blows all the time.
Yes, yeah. I know.
And the community has to have the ability for our businesses, not just Island. We're talking this ordinance affects Giovanni's, Sunburst
Brewlab, Corktree, right.
All of them. And the way that they went about doing the policy, they thought it would be a no-brainer, this city. They thought, oh, okay, we'll just have code enforcement write a deal. He went to an outside source to get his information on what their ordinance was. Mm-hmm. It needs to be designed for Carpinteria, because outside entertainment is as important as inside entertainment in the summertime, because you have the state park people and they're in their beach attire, flip-flops, coming up. And to be outside, being able to listen to music and not feel that they got a dress to go to sit down and listen to some music. So, and the time thing. They wanted to cut it off at 9 o'clock. Well, it don't even get dark till 9 o'clock.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have the fact that the city is going to lose revenue on this ordinance because of the sales tax. People coming up, sharing this venue, spending their money. Some eat, some drink a lot. But it's a sales tax.
And Beth, where are you on that ratio? I mean, you didn't mention.
Should we talk about that?
Stop it.
Sorry.
I'm a good girl.
So.
Oh, really?
Unless I'm on my son's e-bike.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So, what would you like, Beth, as a regulation, what would you like to see? Cut off at 10 o'clock.
I get it. I understand if you're living right there, you know, that it might be annoying, but. You live in a business district, and the campgrounds are louder than Island Brewing Company's music sometimes.
And there will be the beer fest in August.
The campgrounds, you know, the smoke smell from the campgrounds, while it might be incredible for some people, really annoy other people. I mean, we could definitely go down the line of so many different things, but at the end of the day, for God's sakes, we live in Carpinteria. We're not down in Burbank. This is the most amazing place
on
the face of the earth.
And, yeah.
You know, just breathe, as I said when people were complaining about the freaking cannabis. Just breathe.
Right.
Because look where we are.
Well, I believe, and I'm going to kind of go on this, I apologize. They're from, gone to clubs for so many years down there, and there are some serious issues with some of the nightclubs and the surrounding neighborhoods, but we're talking urinating in public, you know, in somebody's front yard, falling asleep in somebody's front yard, dealing drugs in somebody's front yard, yelling at 2 o'clock in somebody's front yard. And they might have brought that, I don't know who they are, but they might have brought that mindset up here. And for who knows how long, there wasn't a problem. All of a sudden, they almost had like a Hollywood PTSD.
Well,
this is untenable.
Well, first of all, they need to get off their ass and stop watching television and get out and enjoy Carpinteria.
Thank you.
And the beach and all that we have to offer in an ambiance. They keep talking about part of the Carpinteria charm. That's what we're all about. Getting out, meeting the people, socializing, being at the beach, going downtown.
Yeah, maybe going and enjoy some entertainment.
And turning around and going, hey, that band's pretty good.
Yeah. And I'm not saying... You know, I'm going to have Mike is going to represent my part of it because I'm not going to be here. But there is ways to help out with decimal sounds and all that. Same stuff we use for the Avo Fest and all that.
And you're familiar with this because of the Avo Fest.
Yes, we have four working stages there with music. Yeah. So what has to be is there has to be a happy medium, but there wasn't any in this present ordinance that they were putting in now. Matter of fact, one of the most ridiculous part I thought was they have two separate permits. They want them to put in their permit. They want to have them fingerprinted and all kinds of stuff. And then if they want to do outside, they got to get a separate permit. Why can't it all be under the same...
Yeah, entertainment.
Entertainment,
yeah,
right. Thank you.
Yeah.
One permit.
It can be.
We don't live in the movie Footloose, okay?
Yeah.
We watch that movie.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But they talk about how busy City Hall is and how overworked the staff is and everything. Well, this is something that just needs to be common sense and streamlined.
Yes.
That's all it needs to be done. And don't make extra work on them to get a second permit. One permit... Should be designed for all of them. And if you want to do a selection of hours and stuff like that, not in the summertime. In the summertime is when we have our biggest audience.
Well, spring break is here.
And spring break.
We start it in March. You know?
In March, yeah. Exactly. Right. And then we go into the Memorial Day weekend, which is huge. And then the campgrounds open up and, you know, it snowballs. And the people come to their rentals and their homes that they rent.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Some more music?
Can I just do a quick shout out?
Oh, of course you can.
Back to Carpinteria Community Association.
I'm sorry, you didn't kind of go off track, but just such an important aspect of Carpinteria.
I'd just like to to give a shout out to John Wolbrandt, long time carpentry.
Yes, you have to.
He gave us our the beautiful mural,
which is an agricultural mural.
He's looking down on us from the hill, right?
Yes. And by the way, the ag community, when we sponsored that Carpentry Beautiful, the ag community jumped in with donations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And there's a little...
He helped us with the logo too, didn't he? Yeah. Or not the logo, the letterhead?
It's on our invitation. Yeah.
For anybody out there, I know what you're saying, John's mural is at the corner on Chrisman, California Islands, or the California Chrisman Island Center, which is on the corner of Linden and Carpentry Avenue. It's right there on the east facing wall.
Yes.
Opening April 4th, by the way. Finally found
out. Got the Wall Grant Way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Beautiful mural. So thank you to John for all that you do in carpentry.
For sure.
Yeah, John. Thank you, John. You owe me a Corona.
And taking care of cleaning up after every parade.
Yeah. Thanks for picking up the horse.
That's Carpentry Beautiful, by the way.
I know.
He's whatever. He's a member. He cracks me up, which is fine. We're doing it again. I guess if we have Walk the Line, Johnny Cash.
Why don't we close out
with this?
We have three left. What do you want to do?
Let's play it.
Play them all.
One final word from Gary, one final word from Beth, and we'll call it a day. CarpentryValleyRadio.com, Brian's Radio Lunch Truck. One final word.
Thank you for having us, and I think we covered a lot more than just community awards.
Yeah, and do you want to mention one final word about the community awards or what CCA is?
April 6th. Please get your tickets. It's going to be the Academy Awards of Carpenteria.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having us.
What a blast. You guys are great. I really, really enjoyed it. I learned a lot, too.
Yeah.
And you laughed at my jokes.
Yes.
So now we won't kill you. That's amazing.
So we got
Johnny Cash, Johnny Two Bags. And tell us who Johnny Two Bags is, Dennis.
He's in Social Distortion, but I did not know that when I went to see Los Lobos in Ventura. And the opening act was this Johnny Two Bags guy. I never heard of him. And he delivered a set well above what a normal opening act would do. High energy, crisp, clear, great rock and roll songs. Come home and do the research. He's in Social D. They'll be at the Bowl next month. And he's just wonderful.
You know, with a name like Two Bags, every name's cool. Thelonious Two Bags.
There you go.
Marvin Two Bags.
Yeah,
it turns everybody into a fucking hitman.
I think he knew that. Yeah.
Love it. And of course, Walk the Line, Johnny Cash, Johnny Two Bags is Ghosts. And the final one is Stick Figure, which I never heard of, and used to start out as one person, but now it's a band.
Awesome.
Kind of California based, a reggae dub, and I think what's the song called? Thank You for All the Hard
Smiles
Work.
On Faces.
I need my glasses.
Smiles on Faces.
Smiles on Faces.
Great tune.
Yeah.
I was listening to it. I love the vibe, and I want to hear more of them.
Yeah, I'm buying one of their albums right off the bat.
Cool.
It's a Sunday morning. Album for sure. All right, guys, CarpenterValleyRadio.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gary, thank you, Beth. Brian's Radio Lunch Truck, and we're out here. Start playing music. Get me off the mic, please. Okay.